97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I am a huge, I don't want to say gamer because that to me sounds like video games. I don't love video games, but I love playing board games.
Oh,
like
right
that,
there with
that,
you.
That is my idea of a fun night. Call yes. me 90 years old, but I would rather stay in and play. Thank you, Sue. I would.
Totally
I guess we're both
you.
About 90 years old.
Yeah.
I would rather stay in and play board games than go out to some bar these mm-hmm. days. Like that just sounds more fun to me. Well, of course, the left has found a way to ruin that. Okay, I found this clip of this mom playing the game Guess Who. We all remember Guess Who,
right? I don't.
Right?
What's Guess Who?
Is your person wearing glasses?
Oh, yes.
And then you flip
oh,
them down
that.
And you try to eliminate them and guess who they have.
Yes.
I love that game. I grew up playing that. Well, they have found a way to make it LGBTQIA plus friendly. Listen to this.
All right. Hey, kids. Who wants to play Guess Who?
I don't like that game. It's not inclusive.
Yeah, it only has two genders.
Not anymore!
Yay!
Introducing the all-new Guess Who, now with all 437 genders.
Is your person by gender?
Mom, you cannot determine someone's gender based on their appearance. That's disrespectful and offensive.
Is your person a demiborn?
Identifying someone solely based on their gender is reductive and offensive.
Does your person look like someone who is trying to adopt the appearance of a traditional female?
Privileging traditional gender stereotypes is patriarchal and offensive.
437 gender Guess Who. Great for the whole family.
That was the Babylon Bee. That's satire. But I'm seriously, I bet you that's in the works right now. 437 gender Guess Who. Well, there was a video that I found also on social media about this mom talking to her young child. You don't see the kid in the video, so I don't know how old the kid was, but sounded to be, if I had to guess, maybe like 4 years old. Ethan, play that clip for us.
So this person might not feel like a girl or a boy. So their pronouns would be?
Them.
Them and? They, right? And so when we're talking about them, we could say they really like mac and cheese.
Or spaghetti.
Or spaghetti. Or we could say, I really like them. Well, what if this person didn't feel like a he? What if that person felt like a she?
Yeah.
Then we would use what pronouns?
Girl.
You would use pronouns that make you feel like a girl?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And what are those pronouns? Do you remember?
She.
And?
Her.
That's right.
Sue, do you feel like a girl today, or how do you feel? I haven't even asked you, and I want to apologize. I am so sorry I have not asked you. How are you feeling today?
How does that screw up kids' grammar? These are the thoughts I have.
Thank you.
If a kid fails their English class, maybe they have a valid excuse because their parents, this mom in particular, has screwed with their child's head.
Well, I mean, what if that kid goes on to run for vice president and blames his lies about his military service on bad grammar?
That's very unfortunate.
He did blame that on grammar.
You know,
Walls.
I didn't think it out that far, Mark.
I'm sorry.
A good point.
Thank you. I mean, you could screw him up for life like that.
At what point is it? I don't know if abuse is too strong of a word, but to me, that's leading to mental illness because these kids are growing up so confused. I mentioned maybe that kid was, 3 years old based on the language. Wouldn't you agree with that? Maybe
yeah,
three?
Sounds...
Scatty, like still struggling to say some words.
Brainwash them early.
You're right? Brainwashing them. And that's, I just
doing.
Have such a problem with that. And you just imagine how many people are actually teaching their kids that kind of stuff. Like, that probably has to go on far more than I ever want to admit.
You should also worry about how much it's going on in the classroom when you're not even aware of it.
True.
In elementary schools and maybe preschools, for all we know, depending on where you're placing your kid. I mean, I think that's a very real contributor to some of the problems we're having today. It's been going on for years.
Right, because...
Right under our nose.
How are districts able to regulate that to the degree that they should? Sure, they can check on the I guess, what's the word I'm thinking of right now? Like, if they have, you know...
The curriculum?
The curriculum. Yeah. If they have set curriculum, okay, they can say, I'd like to review that prior to you beginning the school year. But once they get in the classroom and it's just the teacher with all those children, who's to say that teacher then wouldn't find ways to slip in little phrases like that that would lead the kids to be confused.
I think it's a real problem, and maybe the only positive thing that came out of the whole COVID pandemic was our ability to use the transparency of that to look at the curriculum, because beyond that, as a parent, you're never going to see that. And you could get on Canvas or whatever your district uses, and you could see it during COVID, and you can't now. And if you go to the school board and bring up the questions, somebody might call the FBI on you. I mean, for daring to question what these people who are smarter than you are trying to do to your children.
You're saying you can't see the curriculum anymore?
Well, I imagine you could go to the administration building and knock on the front door and say, I want to see the curriculum for the fifth grade in my kid's school. Somebody could probably produce that, but they're not
going to. They should have to. They should be forced to show that.
It's not publicly posted on any websites anymore that I know of, unless if somebody knows other than that, messages down here. I don't know that it is.
I don't think a parent should have to go digging.
They shouldn't have to
find their child's curriculum. I think that should be easily accessible for anybody, because that's something that I would want to know. And I think you're right. I think as terrible as the pandemic was, there was a lot of good that came out of that. And I think it was people standing up for themselves and questioning things and, yeah, I mean, pressing for more transparency. So for that, I'm really thankful. I think it really rocked a lot of parents, and rightfully so. Not just parents, people in general, rocked a lot of people, myself included. And I think we've seen some changes, and that's not just with the COVID shot, because I think a lot of people now are questioning that. People are questioning our food and the chemicals that are in it. I've talked a lot about that. Despite the fact that I'm staring at donuts and what looks like really, really delicious food that Chickenelli's just brought us, and we can smell it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to say I'm losing focus, Sue.
Mark, stay focused.
We watched you kind of go off.
Is it like the breakfast sandwich? Oh my God.
They brought us breakfast sandwiches from Chickenelli's across the street. We're live on Central down here, South Central in Eureka this morning, and hopefully you'll get a chance to swing by sometime during the broadcast and just say hello. The fire department's out here. They brought one of their ladder trucks with the big flag, and of course, we're here on 9/11, and that's important for a number of reasons. We haven't even gotten into that yet on the date of 9/11 and the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York, but our Focus Marine Foundation is down here, focusmarines.org. We're going to be talking to them this morning about all the great stuff they do and how you can contribute, and hopefully we raise some donations for them. But it is distracting to smell that food right
now. Yeah. No, it smells fantastic. I'm glad you brought up 9/11, because it's always a somber anniversary. And I mean, I was young. I was in sixth grade when that happened. But even at that age, I vividly remember hearing about it. I was in math class with Mrs. Hagel, and I remember she allowed us to ask questions to get a better understanding of what was going, because what age would you be, sixth grade? Would you be, what, 11 at that point?
I think more than that. Maybe
something around that age, right?
Yeah.
And I asked some question about what was hijacking, because that just wasn't a term that really was thrown around. You didn't hear much about it. At least at my age, we weren't talking about that.
Right.
And I will never forget how embarrassed I was when I felt like she questioned me. The way she responded to me, I felt like she was kind of making fun of me. And it's sad that I still remember that feeling.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Of just being embarrassed, because I was trying to understand what was going on and why everyone was so upset.
Sue Thomas and I were in news class when that happened 23 years ago, weren't we?
We were.
We were on the set at Channel 4.
You were on the set?
Yeah. Working together, and we went out to do a cut-in during the CBS This Morning show, and that's when Harry Smith looked up and said, we have some breaking news. A plane just flew into the World Trade Center.
And we were trying to figure out what that meant, right?
Yes.
Was it an accident? Was it purposeful? And, you know, they have those giant screens back then in the weather center, and we were watching it, and they had footage, and there was smoke going up, and we thought, wait, what?
And then the second one hit, and then CBS never came back to us after that.
Nope.
And that's when we knew it was intentional.
Sent out onto the street to try to find the local angle, which very quickly became the fact that hundreds of planes landed at Lambert Airport, and they had more room for them.
Right.
And they had no hotel rooms, and people were going out there and offering their extra bedrooms to people that were stranded at Lambert that day.
Yeah, because they were grounding all the flights.
Mm. Yeah, we couldn't fly traffic even.
No, they couldn't even get the helicopters in here.
Yeah.
It was strange times for sure.
That's just something everyone, if you were old enough to remember it, I feel like you're going to remember where you were and how you felt and It's just, yeah, it's sad. And I think of all the families who were impacted by that day, and every year this has just got to be really hard.
Yeah, and the national anthem we played this morning taking on a little extra significance, and we've got Old Glory flying over our broadcast tent down here in downtown Eureka. Come down and see us. We're going to be live here all morning until the end of the show at 9 a.m. Enjoy some great food from Chicken Ellie's and all these great restaurants, and of course, vendors down here along Main Street will be opening their doors here when it becomes daylight, which it's not yet. So we're going to take a quick break live from Eureka. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.